ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, entitled Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, and it's text 42. Aksham Dasha Panam Adhama Dharmao Chakre Abhimanam Gatinam Cha Jivam Hanu hi tasya panavam patanti sharam tu jivam param evam lakshyam aksham dasa panamadamadama chak Chakhe Bhimanam Gatinam Chajivam Danu Ritasya Panavam Patanti Saram Tu Jivam Parameva Lakshyam Aksham The spokes on the chariot's wheel Dasha 10. Panam, the 10 kinds of air flowing within the body. Adhama, religion. Dharma, religion. So two sides of the wheel, up and down. Chakre, in the wheel. Abhimanam, false identification. Gatinam, the charioteer, or master of the body. Cha, also. Jivam, the living entity. Dhanu, the bow. He, indeed. Tasya, his. Pranavam, the Vedic mantra, Omkar. Patanti, it is said, Sharam in arrow to but Jivam the living entity Param the Supreme Lord Eva indeed Lakshyam the target. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The 10 kinds of air acting within the body I compared to the spokes of the chariot's wheel. So the previous verse they were describing how that the body is like a chariot, like a car. So now it's explaining that the spokes, the wheel, the 10 airs in the body are like the spokes of the wheel. The spokes are the different pieces of wood that you see within the wheel. And the top and bottom of the wheel itself are called religion and irreligion. So the top, the bottom, religion, irreligion. The living entity and the bodily concept of life is the owner of the chariot. The Vedic mantra, Pranava, is the bow. The pure living entity himself is the arrow, and the target is the Supreme Being, responsively. The 10 kinds of air acting within the body are compared to the spokes of the chariot's wheels. And the top and bottom of the wheel itself I call religion and irreligion. The living entity and the bodily concept of life is the owner of the chariot. The Vedic mantra Pranava is the bow. The pure living entity himself is the ego. And the target is the Supreme Being. Purport. 10 kinds of life air always flow within the material body. You know them? I don't know them either. Pan, apana, Samana, Trana, Udana, Naga, Kurma, Prikala, Devadatta, and Dhananjaya. You remember? This will be a test at the end on the 10 life heirs. They are compared here to the spokes of the chariot's wheel. The life air is the energy for all living beings' activities, which is sometimes religious and sometimes irreligious. Thus, religion and irreligion are said to be the upper and lower portion of the chariot's wheel. When the living entity decides to go back home, back to Godhead, his target is Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the conditioned state of life, one does not understand that the goal of life is the Supreme Lord. Nate vitu swata gatim ivishnu durashaya he bai ata manima. The living entity tries to be happy within this material world, not understanding the target of his life. When he's purified, however, he gives up his bodily conception of life and his false identity as belonging to a certain community, a certain nation, a certain society, a certain family, and so on. Savobadi binikmuktam tatpatvana niyamalam. Then he takes the arrow of the purified life, and with the help of the bow, the transcendental chanting of Pranava, or the Hare Krishna mantra, he throws himself towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's very poetic, no? Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has commented that because the word bow and arrow are used in this verse, one might argue that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity have become enemies. However, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead may become the so-called enemy of the living being, this is his chivalrous pleasure. For example, the Lord fought with Bhishma, and when Bhishma pierced the Lord's body on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, this was a kind of humor or relationship, which they are 12. When the conditioned soul tries to reach the Lord by hurling an arrow to him, the Lord takes pleasure and the living entity gains the profit of going home back to Godhead. Doesn't mean we should start shooting arrows to the deities. Another example given in this regard is that Arjuna, as a result, is piercing the Adara Mina, or the fish within the chakra, achieve the valuable gain of Draupadi. Similarly, if with the arrows of chanting the holy name of the Lord, one pierces Lord Vishnu's lotus feet, by dint of performing this heroic activity of devotional service, one receives the benefit of returning home back to Godhead. Om Agyana Timandasya Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshu Umitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manuvishtam Shtapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Datati Swapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Go Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpaturu Vyacha Kripasinyu Vyayvacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishtai Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saswati Deve Gauravani Pachayane Nivishesha Shunyavadi Pachetiteshtayane. So the main problem is identification. He has explained that the conditioned soul is identifying himself with the material body, and when one becomes advanced, then he gets free from the identification, and then he can take advantage of spiritual life. He becomes the arrow, and he projects himself through the bow, through the chanting of the holy name, he can project himself towards the Lord. But even as devotees, this identification problem is not gone, unless we're pure devotees. Although the identification that we have before we join and the identification that we have when we join or when we're there for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, unless we become self-realized, is a little different. When we join, we identify ourselves to certain ways of sense gratification. We identify with materialistic people, with the work that we do, if we're students and so on. But when we become devotees, identification becomes a little different. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told us that, he says that, I'm not a sannyasi, I'm not a vanaprast, I'm not a griyasa, not a brahmachari, I'm not a brahman, I'm not a kshatriya, vaishya, shudra. I'm sorry, I shudra. So he says, I'm only the servant of the gopis of the gopis. So there's no identification. But at the same time, we have to identify. Like the Uttamadikari has no identification. He's thinking only he's servant of the Lord, and everyone surrounding him is more advanced than him. So the only way for him to preach is to become a Madhyamadikari, then he can preach. So there's identification without identification. Like in the Bhagavatam, in the chapter of the forest of material desires, it's explained that the Grihastha, he should be attached externally and detached internally. This is a verse that for many, many years we didn't understand in ISKCON. Actually, in 1996, Lokanath Maharaj came back from the GBC meeting in Geneva. That was in Delhi. He gave a class and he says the new resolution or the new understanding is that you should love your wife, you should love your children, and you should love your family. So that was like a realization for ISKCON, because before, if you were doing things for your family, it means that you were attached. So how to be attached and detached at the same time? That is the question. And for someone who's not so advanced, it's difficult. He's attached externally and he's attached internally. So as we become advanced spiritually, the attachments are still there. And the first attachment is the attachment to the mind. Because the mind has been speaking to us for billions of years. It's such a common voice for us that when Krishna tries to speak to us, we're thinking that the voice of Krishna is the voice of Maya, and the voice of the mind is the voice of Krishna. Because Krishna has spoken to us, the mind has spoken to us so many times. But it's not that when we become devotees, we don't identify anymore. We're not still conditioned. Like for example, the desire to be famous, or the desire to be recognized, or to be worshipped, or to have a position, or to enjoy our different ashrams. All this is conditioning, all this is attachment. So what is spoken here is also for devotees. When Prabhupada says that when he is purified, he gives up the bodily conception of life and his false identity as belonging to a certain community, a certain nation, a certain society, a certain family, and so on. So that the devotees still have that problem. Like the businessman is always thinking that today I make so much money, tomorrow I'll make so much more money, how much money will I do later? So in spiritual life also, it's an active principle to try to identify what are these attachments that are not allowing us to surrender. There's a question that was asked to Prabhupada about this Matsya Lava verse, that one moment association of a devotee, one can become perfect. So Prabhupada said, one moment can be 1 second, it can be one moment, or it can be hundreds of years. If the grass is dry, then when you take the spark of the match, immediately the grass is going to take fire. But if the grass is wet, then at that time it's going to take a long time for the grass to dry and at the same time lit up. So if we come, like when we came in contact with Krishna consciousness, most of us, we were dry probably. And that's why when we read the books, we saw the devotees, we met the Guru, we met Prabhupada, immediately we had this. Sometimes not immediately, but a lot of us immediately, we had this realization that I want to become a devotee. So the spark of this matra lava, this 1 second association, actually lit up in us this desire to become devotees. But the problem is that sometimes we become wet again. So we dry, we wet, we dry. And the wet principle is this principle of materialistic life, of always trying to enjoy. Our problem is envy. Hari Swami Prabhu recounts one story. He was in a hospital, he was visiting someone, and another person was visiting the other person. In the same room, there was two beds. And this man said, I love Bhagavad Gita. So a few times they spoke, and at the end the man says, but I don't agree with the conclusion. Why should Krishna be the only one to enjoy? I want to enjoy also. So that was his conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. Although Krishna says at the end that I am the only controller, you should surrender unto me. But he's thinking, why? So that little bit of envy, when we become devotees, it doesn't mean the envy is fully released. It's not that we become devotees and everything is finished. So the envy is that for billions of years we told Krishna that whatever you're doing, I want to do it myself. But if we analyze our heart, we have a certain portion of surrender and a certain portion where we keep separate, where we're still trying to enjoy material life. And that is the envious portion of our heart. And that is the portion of the heart where there's still attachment. What is stopping us from making spiritual advancement? It's not that we are on the path of devotional service and there's no envy for Krishna. If there was no envy, we would fully surrender. It would take 1 second and immediately Krishna would be speaking to us. In the verse, in Bhagavad Gita, there's a verse, it says that for one who controls the mind, the super soul is already reached. You know that verse? So what it means is that when there's no more chatter of the mind, when the mind stops speaking and telling us that we're so great, we're so fantastic, we're so powerful, we're actually Krishna, when that stops, Krishna can actually pierce through and speak to us. Rishikena Rishikesha Bhakti Uchyate, that the original senses are Krishna's senses, and us, our senses are the extensions of Krishna's senses. It's explained in the Mahabharata that when Arjuna was shooting arrows and killing people, he wasn't actually killing them, Krishna was killing them. You know that verse in the Gita says, for one who kills in this world does not kill. It's a dangerous verse. But that's for pure devotees. Because when they act directly through Krishna's instruction. But that is only possible when one controls the mind. Because if one doesn't control the mind, one cannot hear Krishna. Krishna is saying, I created you, you are my extension, let's enjoy and let's have fun. But then the living entity say, no, I'm quitting, I don't want to play. So Krishna is a little surprised that how are you quitting? I created you for us to have fun. It's like a machine, you have a machine, you have a piece, and the piece said, no, I'm coming out. Then the machine is like, without this part it's supposed to do. So Krishna replaces that part and continues, and the machine is left outside, drying up and dying. So this is our position. So, but when someone starts controlling the mind, then Krishna starts speaking directly. Like, there's a devotee called Bhagwat Prabhu, and he was coming back in Bombay. He came to Prabhupada's room. All day he would go and meet different officials. And Prabhupada would be meeting different people. So when Bhagwat saw this, he left. But Prabhupada said, come, sit. And then he told Saswat Maharaj to go get Tamal Krishna Maharaj and told Tamal Krishna Maharaj, sit. So after the whole discussion with the life members, then they left. And then Prabhupada started asking questions and verses to Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Bhagwat Prabhu, and they didn't know the answer. He says, you're not reading my books. He says, unless you listen and see how I preach, how will you preach? And then he says, you know how I do these books? He said, Krishna stands next to me in the morning. He tells me what to say. I dictate in the dictaphone. So Krishna is telling him directly because he's a pure devotee. Krishna is speaking. Krishna does everything. Krishna speaks to us either through Maya or either directly. But it's always Krishna in any case. But when we don't want to hear Krishna, then we have to go through Maya's energy. Like Tamal Krishna Maharaj was recounting, and it's also in the 40th book that Mother Deva Shakti published for the Vrindavan. For Vrindavan. She explained how Prabhupada went to Dwarkadish in Los Angeles, and Dwarkadish told him, he says, you're going to India. And Prabhupada said, no, I'm not going to India. I'm staying here in the West, the preaching is very good. And he said, no, you're going to India. So he told Tamal Krishna Maharaj later that I realize that Krishna sent me here because Vrindavan is like 10 temples in the West. But that was Krishna directing him. So at every minute, Krishna directs the pure devotee and tells us and tells the pure devotee what to do. But that because his mind is controlled, his mind is fully surrendered, and there's no more identification with externals. Obviously, we have to identify. Like for example, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was giving an example that once he went in Mayapur and there were so many people, he got pushed. So he went to his room, he got his danda, and then there was a big circle around him. Because people see the symbol, oh, it's sannyasi. So these things have to be there. Yes, I'm a sannyasi, there's a certain way for me to act. I'm a grihastha, I'm a brahmachari, I'm a brahman. There's certain ways we should do, certain actions we should do, certain things we should do. That identification we should have. The Vanashram system has to be there. It's like tapasya. We do tapasya, we renounce things that are enjoyable for a higher cause. Now a pure devotee doesn't have to do tapasya. He doesn't have to force himself to go to Mangalati. He doesn't have to force himself to chant. He doesn't have to force himself to offer bhoga. He doesn't have to force himself to only eat what Krishna eats. Because he does everything out of love. It's spontaneous. We have to because we are in training. But the pure devotee is still doing it to show the example. Like Krishna says in the Gita that I do my duty, because if I didn't do my duty, the whole world would be in chaos. So this financial principle continues that we advance or not advance. But ultimately in the heart, one has to realize that he is nothing of this, that he's only the servant of the Lord. So these identification that speak is also for the devotee. Sometimes the devotees listen to the Bhagavatam in an impersonal way, because the verses sometimes are a little cryptic or difficult to understand. But these things are not for us. When you read the Bhagavatam, if you understand the principle that Krishna dictated the Bhagavatam, when you read the Bhagavatam, you're actually getting into Krishna's mind. All the discussion on social, spiritual, family, this is all Krishna's opinion. This is all Krishna telling us what is what in a certain way. It is his opinion. So he's telling us, he's speaking to us directly, like the Bhagavad Gita is speaking to us directly. So he says that when the living entity gets free from his denomination, and we are getting free from denomination, but if we are not completely pure, it means that we are still keeping some kind of attachment, thinking that it's okay, I'm keeping a little bit, I'll do it later. But we're thinking that I still have little time. But sometimes we don't think that we're doing overtime. We're actually overtime in the material world. We've been here such a long time. So here it is explained that when the living entity gives up his material attachment, his denomination, his attachment to the family, to the community, thinking he's a sannyasi, he's a brahmin, he's a brahmacharya, he's a grihastha, he's a temple president, all this has to be there. I'm a woman's body, I'm a man's body, I'm a child's body, there's a certain way for me to act. This is Vaishnavachara. But ultimately, beyond that, we understand that we're just a servant of the Lord. So that's when we reach Jinarapi Sunichana. That's when we become humble and tolerant. I remember in 1984, I wrote a letter to Gopal Krishna Maharaj. I just had started Sankirtan. So I asked him, how much should you be humble? Because Sankirtan was a little difficult for me. He says, you have to be humble till death. Because unless we actually humiliated, we like the grass going up all the time. So we get squished. Yes, but. But unless we really squish to understand, yes, okay, I'm nothing. Because we are nothing. We are nothing. We are soul, and we are mastered by Krishna, either through Maya or through himself. We are only meant to be used for Krishna for his enjoyment. But every time we're thinking, little Bhoktaram Yagatapa Samsavalokam, that I'm still the enjoyer, I'm still the friend of everyone, all this is stopping us, all this are denomination. Then one actually manages to get free from this, he becomes an arrow on the bow of the chanting. And through the chanting, he managed to go directly to Krishna. So when we reach that stage of this jinadapi, this chanting, humility, tolerance, we can actually chant properly. And then gradually we can fix our mind and we can actually reach the lotus feet of the Lord. When babies are young, everyone wants to touch them. But more they get older, no one wants to. Isn't it? Guru Maharaj told me this. We were on a plane. There was a little baby. And he says, look at that baby, so sweet. And he says, now everyone wants to touch it. But then when he becomes old, old age home. Who is going to touch the baby anymore? No one wants to touch. It's all denomination. It's all identification. Isn't it? It's the same person. It's the same person, but we're thinking that, oh, it's so beautiful. Like one man in Toronto came in 85 and asked the question that my son just died, but he did nothing. What sin has he done? Yeah, not in this life, because the baby looks so cute, but you don't know what this baby did in past life, how many people he killed, how many cows he ate. Yeah, so cute. So the suffering that we're suffering, that we're having, or that they're having, is based on the past. We were individuals in the past for billions of lifetimes. We don't know accumulation, what we've done in that way. So when we come to the stage of getting, it's not that we have to get free from the denomination in terms of service. We have to take seriously Grihastha Ashram, Sannyasa Ashram, as a Brahmacharis, Vanaprasth. We have to take these seriously. But ultimately, we have to be humble to understand that actually we are only servants of the Lord. And only when we come to the level of humility can we chant. Because that is the only hope, is the chanting. I'm sure you know that story. Jayapataka Maharaj says, Prabhupada was sitting on a very high Vyasasan in Mayapur. And then he gave a very heavy class that unless you're 100% Krishna conscious, you're not going back to Godhead. So the devotees were very disturbed. Then he looked at the devotees again, 90%. The devotees were still disturbed, say 80%. Then he comes down from the Vyasasan. He takes his chatter, he turns around, he said, okay, 70%. Because ultimately this process that we have is so simple. You just have to chant and follow principles. That's all you have to do. But that is even difficult for us. Why is it difficult? Because you're worshipping somewhere else. We don't want to worship Krishna. We want to worship us. I mean, when I chant, I'm always thinking about myself. I'm always glorifying myself. Yeah, I did this, I did that. Isn't that what happens to you? Still happens to me after so long. I'm chanting and I'm thinking, oh, now I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Because I want to be the center. I still want to become Krishna. So that's the reason after so many years I'm still not Krishna conscious. So we have to destroy these things within the heart. This conditioning. Savopadi vivini muktam. These are this dirt within the heart that is stopping us. Because I'm thinking all these things, how can I identify with Krishna? It's not possible. And that is only possible through chanting and association. Without association, it is not possible to become Krishna conscious. That's why the tapasya is there. That's why we have to hear the Bhagavatam class. Saswarup Maharaj once told, he says that if you don't come to the class, maybe that is the class that will help you to not bloop that day. Bloop is the old term for leaving ISKCON. Because we have to hear, and when we hear, we become convinced. If we're not convinced, how can we surrender? We constantly, because the mind is always preaching different information. He's always saying, no, no, no. And then we're saying, yes, 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 by hearing the Bhagavatam. So we have to transfer the material mind to the spiritual mind in this way. So anyways, this verse and purport, actually the two last verses are describing how the body is like a chariot. Actually imagine you have a really big mirror and you're sitting in a car, a real car. When I was in Mayapur, this guy told me, he says, come to my car. I was thinking, wow, you have a car. He takes me to his motorcycle. So let's say you have a real car and you're looking at yourself from the car in the mirror. What do you see? Mostly the car. You can't see yourself nearly. That's what we do in the morning. We see ourselves and we see the car. And then the super soul is sitting just next to us. So we hear the super soul is here. We are about that distance from Krishna. And we hear. We're not here. We hear. So if we just turn around to Krishna, Krishna will speak. He's trying to speak to us, but we just won't listen. We're so rude. It's like someone speaking to you and you're like that. That's what we do to Krishna all the time. Krishna's speaking and we're like that. And Krishna is saying, look at me, look at me. So then sometimes he throw us a little, little accident, and then we look at him a little bit. Yeah, okay. Like we had a devotee in the 80s in the Montreal temple, had a restaurant and it burnt, and this bhakta got caught in the restaurant. So he made a prayer that, Krishna, if you save me, I will surrender. So he did surrender for 2 months, then he left. Because we forget our prayers. So when we suffer, we kind of look and then we forget again. So that's why Queen Kunti prays that, give me more trouble, because more trouble I have, the more I can surrender. If there's no trouble, I'm thinking, I'm okay. That's the biggest problem in spiritual life, to think, I'm okay. It's called complacency. Tamalkeshwar Maharaj once doing the GBC meeting in Houston, I think, or in Detroit. And he said, do you ever wonder, and he's speaking to the GBCs, do you ever wonder why the bhaktas are so enthused? And they're running to Mangalarti, and they make so much advancement. And us, after so many years, it seems we're not making any advancement. He says, it's because there's enthusiasm. Imagine that every year you lose 2% enthusiasm. In 10 years, 20% is finished already. So this is what we have to watch, and this is the trick of the mind. The mind is saying, you're okay, no problem. But we're never okay, because we're not even surrendered yet. So the complacency factor is a dangerous factor in spiritual life, and increases the identification. I'm okay. This okay is also identification. We're not okay, because we're still in the material world, we're still identifying with the mind, we're still identifying with the body, and we're still not fully surrendering. So imagine you're sitting in this car, and you're watching yourself, the super soul is just there, we're just this distance. But at the moment that we can destroy this false ego, then we can directly see the Lord. Immediately, it's instantaneous. You can see Krishna directly in 1 second. We just have to kill the false ego. It's like putting the lights on. Immediately you'll see something. So the false ego is destroyed, immediately Krishna. That's why Prabhupada said that one day, he's told this to Bhagwan, I think, one day, Krishna will put his arm on your shoulder, you put your arm on Krishna's shoulder, and you'll see him face to face. Lord Brahma shake hands with Krishna. That will happen to us too. The problem is that ego, that identification, Savopadi Vidini Muktam, that is spoken here. But at the moment this gets destroyed, through the bow, through this chanting, of Hare Krishna, we can directly go to the lotus feet of the Lord. So that's some realization on this verse and purport. Any question or comments? Does it make sense? It used to be before, when you used to go to class and there was no question, they used to tell us, you're like sleeping passengers. We used to think during the class, what question am I going to ask, what question? And it had to be a question on the class. You couldn't ask a separate question. If it was a separate question, it says, what's on the class? It has to be about the class. But this is very important because when, you know, as we become devotees, it depends how many years we're devotees, but it's really a trick of Maya to make us think that we are okay. But actually, we're not okay. And as the businessman is always checking, how come I didn't make as much money this month than last month? We have to think, why am I not making spiritual advancement? What is stopping me from advancing? Why am I not being able to realize Krishna, see Krishna face to face? What am I doing? So the devotee is thoughtful. He's always thinking, what am I not doing? But Maya makes us sleep. Like we fall asleep in class. I fall asleep in class all the time. You know, there's a story. Bhagwan was giving class and then the servant was fanning and fell asleep and fell on him. And there's another incident. Jagadish Maharaj was fell asleep in the class like this. But at least he was honest. He didn't say that he fell in transcendent ecstasy. He said he fell asleep. What's your question? Can you do it with the mic? Because I didn't hear. The last time I gave class in Vrindavan was 1997. That was a long time ago.
Thank you for bringing this class. You spoke about humiliation and how that moment you were pushed out is actually a very good teachable moment. But oftentimes in Krishna consciousness, when you go through something humiliating, you develop resentment, you develop anger, because this whole flow of emotions, and we kind of fall into very petty levels of emotion. Could you speak a little more about how to overcome that? Think of those moments as teachable moments?
Yeah, I experienced a lot of these. But you know, in Germany, the Prabhupada said the German women, they prayed that during the Second World War that their husbands and sons should come back. And when they did not come back, Prabhupada said they became atheists. Because it's an atheist principle to reject the humiliation, to think there's no God. So I have a friend who's been a devotee for a very, very long time and who went through a lot of tests. And he didn't pass the test. Maybe he'll pass the test. But when I asked him if he was still chanting, he said, the question, if I'm not still chanting, the question is Krishna still God? And that's someone who's been practicing. Krishna's been really, you know, ringing, you know, when you talk close and you ring them, they try to take the water, he's really giving the test. So yeah, the natural tendency is to think, why me? Why me? I'm a good boy. I go to the temple, I chant my rounds, I do everything I should. That, a lot of times people ask, how is it I've been chanting for 15 years, I don't see Krishna? Do you ever ask that question? But the thing is, imagine, someone cheats you for 20 years. You give him money all the time, he cheats you. And then one day he says, Prabhu, I'm a good boy, can you give me more money? He said, no, I'm not going to give him money. 20 years you've been cheating me. He said, listen, I didn't cheat you for about 2 weeks. Give me some money. So we tell Krishna, like, once I came home, I had a black eye. So my mother didn't have to ask me what I did. She knew I was fighting. So when you go in front of the deities with this body, you don't have to tell Krishna what you did. He knows you cheated him because you have this body. So you're telling Krishna, for billions of years I've been cheating you, now I'm chanting for 15 years, you should take me back. So Krishna says, please don't mind, I have little doubts, let me send Maya, test a little bit, and then maybe we can start the relationship again, see what happens. So that's how Krishna is testing. But we're so proud thinking, oh, I've been so good, I've been doing it for 20 years. Krishna's not taking me, how come? What's his problem? He has a problem with me? Oh, I've been only cheating for 20 billion years. So that is the issue, is the mind. In the mind we are thinking that it's a denomination again. It's also an identification, thinking I am someone who should not be humiliated because I'm a good person. But we should be like Lord Brahma or like Queen Kunti, to accept that whatever you give me, I'm going to take it. Actually, the real prayer that Brahma makes is this. Let me go through all the suffering you want me to suffer. I will have no expectations, If you want to take me back, you can take me back. If you don't take me, I will understand. Like Mukunda Dutt, he did something. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got offended. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'm not going to see you again. And he was so much in anxiety. And he asked the devotees, can you ask him when I'm going to see him? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, in millions of years. And Mukunda Dutt was so happy. Jai, I'm going to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again. Millions of years. He wasn't saying, I should see him tomorrow. No, because the devotee knows, I've done a big mistake. So he's ready. I made a mistake. I know I'm going to do the right thing now. But it doesn't mean you have to take me. If you take me, it's your mercy. If you don't take me, what can I do? I'll suffer until you take me one day. So it's the mentality is the problem. Does it make sense? It's really the mentality, because we are thinking with someone else. It's like, I'm in the temple. Hey, I've been 30 years in the temple. How come you don't give me the lamp first? You should. Yeah, you should. But it's not, didn't happen. Hey, but I'm a senior devotee. Because I'm identifying with a senior devotee. Obviously, if I'm a temple president, the respect should be there because I should be respected. There has to be a certain norm and ethics. But in my mind, it shouldn't be there. So at the moment that Krishna tests me, I'm thinking, hey, what are you doing? You're trying to stop Krishna. What are you doing? Krishna's giving it to you. Stop, stop. It's too much. And he's giving more and more and more. Stop, stop. It's too much. And then you get angry with Krishna. And sometimes devotees leave. It's too much for them. They go back to material life. It's a test. Does it make sense, Prabhu? Yes, Prabhu.
When you were speaking about identity, our identity just like when we are chanting for ourselves, we think that we are chanting for ourselves.
No, I didn't say that. I said that sometimes when we chant, then the mind praises us, praises who we are.
It praises our mind.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, when we do darshan of the Lord, then she also can chant the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama. We are watching him, but the mind is our on chanting. So we are identifying that we are chanting for our side. Instead of taking darshan of the Lord or observing ourselves in the completely in Lord, we do this type of mistakes, whether it is correct or not.
Well, it takes time to advance. I mean, it takes time. The thing is that there's still a little envy there. I mean, to worship, in general, when people are worshipped, you don't like it. When people are being worshipped, it's very subtle in the heart. Unless you're very free, you say, Jai, Jai, Jai. Like, there's two devotees in Mayapur, Pakachangi Prabhu and Janibas Prabhu. These people are very, they don't ask for any respect. They're very detached. You worship them, you don't worship them, it's okay. So these people are really detached. And when they worship, they worship. But generally, in general, like me, if I see people worship, I'm thinking, what about me? So it would be the same principle for the deities, but in a subtle way, we're polite. We're not going to say, a child will speak out loud, hey, what's your problem? But we are polite. We say things nicely. Yes, very nice, Krishna, very nice, very nice. But inside, you know, this thing is there. I mean, it's subtle. You have to look at it. You have to go through it. But it's still there a little bit. And the proof is, yeah, we're in the deities and we're thinking about other stuff and we're thinking sometimes, how now I'm going to give class, I gave a good class, how was it, you know? I'm not thinking I'm doing it for the pleasure of the deities in that sense. So, but it takes time to reform, and you know that, it takes time. So it's not that Krishna knows we make mistakes. He's not looking at the mistakes, he's looking at the determination to make advancement. So many mistakes will be there. But what is our determination to daily make advancement? Even if you're not a pure devotee, Krishna can bring you back. Like Shori Prabhu. Huh? Shori Prabhu did so much service. He built this temple. He built Bombay. And then for 30 years he left. Then Krishna brought him back to Vrindavan. Then he brought him Nishingananda Prabhu. ITV invited him in LA for the Prabhupada memories. Went back to Vrindavan and died. It's the mercy. It's the attraction. One should not... Like in the teachings of Queen Kunti, Queen Kunti is asking questions. And Kapila Dev... Prabhupada says, in the translation says that Kapila Dev smiled at his mother. And Prabhupada said that if Krishna smiles at you, what else do you want? So we're not trying to see Krishna, we're trying to attract Krishna. And even if we're very fallen, we're just inert, we can't get it, we can't get out, we should. We should do the best, we should work hard, we should become pure devotees. But ultimately he sees that desire, and if we win the heart of Krishna, whatever position we are, he will take us. But we shouldn't use it as a reason not to advance. But we just have to be very sincere and not be discouraged. We have to be patient. We have to be patient. If Prabhupada said, you Westerners, you're not patient. You want results immediately. You want to be now, immediately. Let me see Krishna. It's going to take time. It could be fast, it could be time, it depends. Does it make sense? Yes, always. Thank you. And that is translated also in the mercy of the devotees. We live by the mercy of the devotees and we die by losing the mercy. And it's not just pure devotees. Like Dhruva. Dhruva was not a pure devotee at that time. When he became a pure devotee, his stepmother suffered. She lost her son. And the purport, Prabhupada said, because of the offense to Dhruva, she lost her son. So if you offend someone who will become a pure devotee, and we all going to become pure devotees, then there'll be a reaction also. So we always have to be humble and tolerant and serviceable to all the devotees and create good Vaishnava relationships. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu. We have time? Dhammatma? Is it okay? We have time? You're from Ghana? I don't know much pastime Bhakti Tito Maharaj. I'm sorry. I don't know. I didn't have much. The only time I associated Bhakti Tito Maharaj was in Dallas when he came. And I know he likes to make everyone speak in the beginning. And that made me very shy. He gets everyone open and everyone should say something. But I know. I know he was a great devotee, but I never really had association. Bhakti Tito Maharaj ki? Yeah. Yes. I'm sorry, Prabhu.
Thank you very much for your explanation. I just wanted to hear about this, like you heard about this, about the restaurants, like detached and then detached from the center, detached from the outside.
It means that, you know, the misconception in ISKCON before is, like if I had my kids early, I would never have taken care of my kids. Because just in New Vrindavan, if you pushed the stroller of your kid, it was Maya. It means you were attached. Every time they saw you taking care of your kids, it means you have attachment, taking care of your wife. But if you watch all the Indian culture in the old movie, there's a lot of love and there's a lot of tenderness between family members. That is there. And you see, Prabhupada, Pishima, there's a lot, you know. But as is West, you're not Westerner, but in the beginning of the movement, the question is, and Prabhupada did not stop it because it was a beginning, so everyone had to give. If everyone stopped and loved their family, probably it wouldn't have advanced that fast. So he made them live. Actually, who said that? What's his name? Anyways, he said, in the beginning I came to make sannyasis, I couldn't make sannyasis, then I said I'll make grihasthas, then I couldn't even make grihasthas. He says, just chant Hare Krishna. But So the point is that in the beginning we had misunderstanding that if we took care of a living entity, means we were attached to it. But we have a duty. So we have to take care of our families, but we can't be falsely detached inside. But at least we should cultivate the knowledge that these living entities are servants of the Lord. My wife is a Vaishnavi, my husband's a Vaishnav. These devotees, these children are coming from Krishna, you know, demigods or whatever it is, and then we're serving them. And then inside. And as we advance, we become detached. Now the problem is that when we become advanced, they want to kick out the family. But the Bhagavatam said, no, you continue with your family life until it's finished, but you continue your bhajan with Krishna inside. But that's a high, that's an advanced level. I've not reached it yet. But we cultivate detachment, but at the same time you have to take care of your family. It's a false concept. I mean, I was shocked when Lokanath Maharaj came in 96, because before, he says, love your family, love your kids, and love your children. And that was from the Geneva GBC meeting. Because there's a realization, yeah, you have to take care. If you don't take care of your families, if you don't have good families, how is there going to be Krishna consciousness? The kids are just going to go everywhere. You know, and families separate, and there's no Krishna consciousness. So we have to care for others. It's not Maya to care. But if you care in such a way for your own sense gratification, that becomes Maya. But sometimes that's where you add also. We cannot be artificial. You have to analyze where am I spiritually, and from there I can go. You know, if you dig a hole in the ground, when you put back the sand, it's very, very easy. But then when you start digging where you did not dig, it becomes very difficult. So sometimes people come, they're so advanced. Because past life, they already dug, so they're just taking the sand out. But the test is, when it's time for them to dig the new ground, if they're going to do it or not. So we can't judge based on others. So we have to analyze, where am I spiritually? Where do I have to dig? And then I could be 20 lifetimes beyond someone, or after someone, or before someone, whatever it is. I can be back 20 lifetimes, but that's where I am. And then from there, I can gradually make advancement. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this. Obviously, we're initiated. We have to chant 16 rounds. But he says that, decide what is your limit. 4 rounds every day. Okay. You can do 16, but 4. But at least 4, that's your vow. And then 5, and then 6. So now we're initiated. We have to keep that. But we have to decide within initiation our advancement, and then gradually advance. Maybe I cannot just go on book distribution all day. I have to have a job. Okay, have a job. Like the story of Gajendra, when Madhusevita Prabhu came as a Grihastha, he was a sannyasi. Prabhupada did not see him after he took Grihastha life. And Prabhupada just praised him. He said, oh, I'm so happy. Was your wife? Was your child? And at that time, he was translating the story of Gajendra. And he says, I don't care. You become a Grihastha. Whatever's strong enough for you, you should fight Maya. So we have to find our position in Krishna consciousness so we're strong enough to make advancement. Obviously, we do this with guru and senior devotees, but we should not compare to others. We have to compare to where I was yesterday and where am I going to go tomorrow. And then we can make real advancements. Does it make sense? I didn't realize that aspect you're asking me, so I'm just telling you from what I read, but I didn't realize this detachment inside. You can't artificially detach. But at the same time, you can't fall in Maya thinking, well, it's artificial. You have to follow your principles. But you can't be artificially detached. Like, for example, you may tell your wife, I'm going to go for 2 years and preach. That may be artificially detached either for her or for you. Because sometimes what happens, the husband leaves and then he gets another wife, you know? Oh, I'm detached, take sannyas and go. So we have to stay in the principle, in the sense, we have to do our family life. We have to be brahmacharis, follow the principles. We have to be sannyasis, but gradually develop detachment. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki.